We have a tradition that when a new pastor comes to town, they deliver the message. And so it's our privilege to welcome Mark and Dana Blair to Kohala. They pastored down in Hilo for many years and then went off to the mission field, Uganda and China, and it's a blessing to have you here in Kohala with us. Something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. It is a privilege to be here. I guess I drew the short straw as the new guy. But I heard there's breakfast, and I'm mindful of that, so I'm not going to go too long. But I want to just say God is good. He is faithful. I came to know Jesus during Easter week as a lost high school kid in California. That's when I first heard the gospel. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I went to a camp, and they said, there's going to be Bible study. And I go, what? But God used all that to reach me, and I thank him so much. And maybe you're here, you're really here for the breakfast, but listen a little bit, because I've got something really great to tell you about the Lord. But I know that many of you are here because you are already committed. I know some of you were up at 3:30 to make the eggs. And when I woke up, I thought, boy, those guys are on the egg team, and there's a lot, really, of your commitment. And as a believer, You begin to say, how do I be like Becky or like Colleen or like Pastor Kavika? How do I really walk with God? How do I know God? I gotta try harder. And I'll bet there's a few of you that are sitting here this morning watching the ocean and seeing the beauty and saying, you know, I gotta get up earlier. I gotta make a prayer time. I gotta devote myself more to the Lord and be more faithful every day. And I'm here to tell you that as we know God, it is the work of God in our life that we need more than our work. Remember this church at Corinth that Father Ellie has just read, and you know, I'm so thankful to have fallen into the relationship of friendship with Father Ellie and Pastor Steve, and to pray with these guys and to know the other pastors in town. God has really blessed me and Dana to put our lives here in Kohala. But as we heard that word from 1 Corinthians, you probably know, many of you, that Corinth was the most messed up church of all the congregations that the Apostle Paul served. They were filled with rich blessings. They were a very gifted church, but they were smug and self-righteous and proud. In fact, they did things in that church that even embarrassed the unbelievers in Corinth. And that was a pretty big deal because those guys were pretty bad. And in that self-righteous smugness, they really didn't understand the grace of God in Christ. So Paul sends them this letter. And I think they knew that a letter was coming and it wasn't going to be good because they needed a bit of a spanking from their spiritual father. And so they sat around to listen to the reading of the word. They didn't have their Bibles like we do. And you might have yours open if you still got it. And they heard this word from Paul. But instead of getting a beat down from their papa, they heard this gracious word that has been read for us. In fact, St. Augustine called this section of Scripture Totus Christus. Totus Christus is the Latin for the whole Christ. And what he was trying to say is that you are in God because he is our redemption. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. And that's why Paul resolved to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The good news of the gospel is that God has done it all. Not just for us to be saved, but for us to walk with him day by day in that salvation all the way until it's finished. Because I think a lot of times Christians miss this point. Sure, God had to save me, but now that I am saved, my engine turns on. I'm going to carry myself by my works and by my obedience to the end of the goal. You know, my wife and I have lived in three main countries, but we've been doing mission work for about 30 years. We've been in about 40 different countries and worshiped in about 40 different, many different churches in those 40 different countries. And in most of those countries, we had opportunities of talking to people about how do you know God or how can you follow God? And I've basically tried to simplify it by saying there's really only two religions out there. Do you know that? Only two. Now, one of them is really big. They have a lot of rituals and holy books and leaders and traditions and histories. But on all those religions, you can summarize it with a two-letter word. Do. Do. D-O. Do this. Do that. Do this. Pray that. Go here. Do that. Go on a Hajj. Do this ritual. Offer this offering. Spin this wheel. Do it. And you will be saved. I laughed this morning that my wife was driving down here because 40 years ago, we were driving in Philadelphia, and actually I was driving, on the Schuylkill Expressway going to an Easter sunrise service in 1983, and I was going too fast, and it started raining, and the Schuylkill turned into what its nickname, the Shore Kill, and I spun our car completely around on this freeway and slammed into the wall and totaled the car, but thank God at 5 a.m. there wasn't anybody out there. And a guy came up to us and said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Just chant these words." And he said, "Ah, blah, 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 blah." And he goes, "You got it?" And he said it one more time, and he just ran off. But even then, it was do. Chant these words. But there's another religion. You've been hearing a little bit about it. And it has a four-letter word. It is D-O-N-E. And the man that we're talking about stretched out his arms upon the cross and said, D-O-N-E. It's finished. Paid in full. Te telestai was the Greek. That there's nothing remaining to be done for our salvation. And the sad reality in our life with God is that we don't hold on to that truth throughout our walk with God. It is never, for the Christian, a do religion. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 talks about he is our righteousness, he is our redemption, he is our sanctification. All that we have in God is in Christ. And we receive more and more of him. And this makes a difference to us as pastors. If there's a do religion, then me as a pastor have got to work up my ministry and got to do my thing and make people come and get something from me because they've got to do it. And if you're a listener, you have a different approach as well. What do I got to do? What do I got to do? What's the next step? What's the next step? But if it's a done religion, me as a preacher, all I want to do is faithfully proclaim the word that God has given. And then he does it. And if you're a believer who knows it's a done religion, it's not about you working yourself up to a new frenzy, but you receiving again the grace of God, always undeserved, always unmerited, but poured out and poured out and poured out because he loves you. And that's the difference between a do religion and a done religion. We need to hold to the whole Christ. It's not about some extra experience that I need to have, some blessing I've got to go find somewhere and do this, but to receive and deepen and grow in our relationship with Him. We see that even in the first story of the Bible, Adam and Eve. Eve was pretty sure that God was keeping the best stuff for Himself. So that when the serpent came and says, "Hey, you see that fruit over there?" Some people say it was an apple, but you know, in Hawaii, it's probably a papaya or lilikoi or something that tastes a whole lot better than an apple. And she sees that and she says, "Yeah. Well, you know, when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God." Wow. Isn't that awesome? Who needs God? I don't want this guy telling me the fruit of the tree of good and evil. I don't need that guy to tell me what is good and evil. I'm going to make that determination myself. I want my own eyes to be opened. I want to be like God. So she ate it, and it actually became like God, but in a little bit of a twisted way. Because God, who loves the good and hates the evil, now her eyes are open and she hates the good and loves the evil. And that's the sad reality, that our mom and dad did that. And we've been walking in that way ever since. And she then thought that by this legalism, she would miss out on God by, you know, doing this, eating this. So there's the tension, isn't there? Legalism says, "I can do it." It's really the do religion. I do this. I make points with God. I get a healing. I say a prayer. I do this. But the other extreme is what our mom first did there in the garden, lawlessness. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to make up my mind myself. We saw it in Luke 15, didn't we? When Jesus was contrasting the two sons. Remember the first one? Maybe that's like you, right? "Hey, Dad, I can't wait for you to die, so can you give me everything right now?" What a dad. Instead of giving him the slap down like the Jewish father could have done, the father literally gave him everything. And he went off, and remember, things were great when he had the money, a lot of friends, but then when the money dried up, no more friends, and he's who? With the pigs. And remember, as a Jew, that was no place to be. So he works up his speech. "You know, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy." You see how lawlessness spins into legalism. Legalism is saying, "I'm going to get back on my own terms. I'm going to work. I'm going to achieve it. I'm going to accomplish this." The do religion. And both extremes, lawlessness and legalism, you can't find God. Lawlessness, you think you're going to find God. Becky had a great story. You think you're doing all this stuff, you're going to be free. Legalism, you think, "Oh, somewhere in there, if I only pray hard enough, if I only give hard enough, if I only serve hard enough." Well, let me tell you, you'll never do enough. You'll never do enough. Because the living God who put this scenery here in front of us is absolutely holy, absolutely pure and righteous, and does not have any place for sin. One sin keeps you out of His kingdom. So we will never be good enough. That's why Jesus must be our righteousness, why Jesus must be our redemption, why Jesus must be our sanctification. because he alone is our righteousness. And it's not about doing or about rebellion. What about the other son? He comes back and hears the noise, and he already hates his brother, apparently, and because he never went down the road, tried to find him. And he comes back and he says, "What's going on?" They say, "Hey, your brother came home." And immediately he thinks dollar signs. Because if that brother came home, he's cutting into my share of the income. Because he lost his stuff already. Everything in that house belongs to him, right? So all of a sudden he hears dad gave away the ring, the robe, the shoes, and he even killed the fatted calf. And so he comes back with his speech and said, and notice in Luke 15, got to read it sometime, he says, he doesn't even say, "Hey, dad," or "Hey, father." He says, "Hey, you! You never even gave me a goat for my friends. But when this son of yours," doesn't even call him his brother, "comes back, you killed a fatted calf. I've been waiting to eat that myself." And so why is he grumbling? He's grumbling because he'd been practicing that due religion for a long time. He'd been the good boy. He'd been the righteous one. He'd been the obedient one. But do you see how both brothers missed the love of the father? One of them missed it by not seeing how good life was and saying, "To hell with you, dad, I'm going off and doing my own thing." And the other one missed it by being the good boy at home and thinking that by his righteous obedience and loyalty, he was actually having a relationship. No, he wasn't having a relationship. He's just having a duty. He's a slave, not a son. What's the solution? Well, the father loves both. The father goes to both. The father invites both. The father says to the rebel and to the religious, "Sons, I love you. I love you." It's not about your running away and being a bad boy. It's not about your staying home and being a good boy. It's about this relationship that I want with you because I love you. And that's the whole Christ. That's the Christ who created us before we were even born in the mother's womb. That's the Christ who saves us. That's the Christ who fills us with the Holy Spirit. That's the Christ that we walk with all the days of our lives. That's the Christ who will take us home and whom we'll worship forever. The theme song of heaven is not going to be, "I did it my way." The theme song of heaven is, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And so who do we need? The same guy we've always needed. The same person we've needed from when we drew our first breath. We need a father who loves us so much that he would give us his only son. We need a son who loves us so much that he would lay down his life upon a cross and pay the penalty of our sin. We need a Holy Spirit who loves us so much that he would bring the power of this gospel into the history of man and into my heart and into your heart, and who would breathe very words from God for us through this book, so that we would know God in the power of the Scriptures, in the power of the Spirit. We need this God. He's the whole Christ. Don't think your motor is going to kick in somewhere out there somewhere. No, your motor isn't going to ever kick in. His motor is going to keep kicking for you. It never becomes a due religion. It's never about your membership in some church, some ritual that you think you did, got baptized somewhere sometime. That's due religion. It's never going to save you. but it's the done religion of a Savior who stretched out his arms upon the cross, who says, I love you. I'm going to keep loving you. And you just offer your feeble little prayer up to me and seek me day by day, and that love relationship will keep growing and growing and growing. Father, make that true for my life and for the lives of all of your people here. Help our friends here who maybe are just still waiting for the breakfast. Lord, give them the manna from heaven. Give them the reality of your love, your Holy Spirit, your saving grace, so that they will come to know this Jesus, not by what they do. Deliver them from that trap of legalism, but help them to find the grace of the liberty of your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.